Welcome to Rapidly Rotating Records, an hour of toe-tapping music from rapidly rotating 78 RPM records of the 1920s and 30s with yours truly, Glenn Robison. We've got dance bands, hot bands, sweet bands, show tunes, novelty tunes, blues and jazz and more on everything from Aeolian to Xenophone and by everyone from Aronson to Zerky, all that along with some interesting bits of trivia. On this evening's show, we've got songs to celebrate the birthdays of Paul Whiteman, Hal Kemp, and Robert Frost. But to get us started, we've got a set of sentimental songs, for no other reason than I came across a great record of a tune called Sentimental Me. Talk about music to which you can't not tap your toes. Here are the Knickerbockers. Thank you.
metal baby, I see a tear. Sentimental baby, please tell me, dear, what makes you always feel so blue? What makes you act the way you do? Sentimental baby, cuddle up near. There's something I want you to hear. You see the sun come shining through. Sentimental baby, for you.
A sentimental gentleman from Georgia, Georgia, gentle to the ladies all the time. And when it comes to loving, he's a real professor, yes, sir, just a Mason-Dixon Valentine. Oh, see those Georgia peaches hanging around him now, 'cause what this baby teaches, nobody else knows how. That sentimental gentleman from Georgia, Georgia, gentle to the ladies all the time. Thank you.
some sentimental songs on Rapidly Rotating Records. We began the show with a fine example of music to which you can't not tap your toes with the Knickerbockers, a Ben Selvin band, and Sentimental Me, written by Rodgers and Hart, and committed to Wax on July 15, 1925. Then it was Ben Pollock and his Park Central Orchestra with Benny Goodman and Jack Teagarden in the band, and a tune written by Jack Palmer, Sentimental Baby. The vocal on that December 3, 1928 recording was by Gene Austin. And we just heard Baron Lee and the Blue Rhythm Band on August 17, 1932, and Sentimental Gentleman from Georgia, written by Mitchell Parrish and Frank Perkins. The vocalist there was Billy Banks, who was signed by Irving Mills to be headliner at Connie's Inn in Harlem, and who was part of the Rhythm Makers in 1932. The Rhythm Makers was a recording band assembled by Eddie Condon for Irving Mills to promote Banks and his Connie's Inn engagement. The group featured trumpeter Red Allen, Joe Sullivan on piano, clarinetist Pee Wee Russell, as well as Fats Waller and Tommy Dorsey. I'm Glenn Robison, and the name of the show is Rapidly Rotating Records. Rapidly rotating 78 RPM records of the 1920s and 30s, and music to which you can't not tap your toes. Sunday evenings at 6 on KISL Avalon. Last week, March 28th, marked the birth in 1890 in Denver, Colorado, of Paul Whiteman. He was born into a musical family, his father being superintendent of musical education for the Denver public school system. In 1907, Paul was playing viola in the Denver Symphony Orchestra, and in 1914, the San Francisco Symphony. In 1918, he was serving in the U.S. Navy, where he organized and trained musicians in the Naval Training Camp Symphony. Also in 1918, he formed a dance band in San Francisco and was soon playing at the Fairmont Hotel. His first recording session was on August 9, 1920, for Victor, and he soon became the best-known American bandleader. From March to August of 1923, the band made their first tour of England, and it was upon their return to the U.S. from this trip that Whiteman was crowned the King of Jazz by the Bucher Band Instrument Company of Elkhart, Indiana. The orchestra played in the Ziegfeld Follies of 1923, which ran at the New Amsterdam Theater from October 20, 1923, until May 10 of the following year. On February 12, 1924, Paul Whiteman and his Palais Royal Orchestra performed a concert at Aeolian Hall in New York, billed as an experiment in modern music, at which concert George Gershwin's Rhapsody in Blue was introduced. Whiteman and Gershwin recorded it a few months later on June 10. In 1930, Whiteman starred in the Universal picture The King of Jazz, the first musical filmed in Technicolor. The show begins with a Walter Lantz cartoon recalling how Whiteman earned the title of the King of Jazz. Then Whiteman appears, coaxing his miniaturized orchestra out of a small box. The film then assumes the traditional review format with brief comedy sketches interspersed with spectacular production numbers. The musical talent includes John Bowles, the Rhythm Boys, and violinist Joe Venuti. Highlights include a full-length picturization of Gershwin's Rhapsody in Blue with Roy Bargee at the piano, the surrealistic Happy Feet, and the Melting Pot finale. Whiteman's other films included Thanks a Million in 1935, Strike Up the Band in 1940, 1944's Atlantic City, and Rhapsody in Blue in 1945. He was also in the Broadway musical shows George White's Scandals of 1922, Lucky in 1927, Jumbo in 1935, and he was immensely popular on radio throughout the 1930s. During the 1940s and 50s, Whiteman worked as musical director for the American Broadcasting Company, but reformed his orchestra from time to time during those decades. In the early 60s, Whiteman played in Las Vegas before retiring. Paul Whiteman died of a heart attack on September 29, 1967, in Doylestown, Pennsylvania. Here are three from Paul Whiteman. Thank you.
to you about the love of someone who they call a ragamuffin Romeo. He'd sigh and wail as lovers do when thinking of his sweetie too, for little ragamuffin Romeo. In dreams only they had ever met, and at dawn he'd awake, oh, so lonely for his Juliet. And then he would take his little sack and hit the road, a-picking rags at each abode, for little ragamuffin Romeo.
Paul Whiteman and his orchestra. From Irving Berlin's Music Box Review, it began with Say It With Music from August 31, 1921. The Music Box in Music Box Review refers to the Music Box Theater in New York, which opened in 1921 and was built by Irving Berlin and Sam Harris. At the time, Paul Whiteman's orchestra was playing at the Palais Royal in Manhattan. Also in 1921, Whiteman formed Paul Whiteman Incorporated, a company which provided dance orchestras in and around New York City. Then, from 1930, it was Jeannie Lang and Ragamuffin Romeo from The King of Jazz. And we finished up in 1928 with that rousing rendition by Austin Young of De Silva, Brown & Henderson's American Tune from George White's Scandals. Paul Whiteman, born March 28, 1890.
You're listening to Rapidly Rotating Records, 78 RPM records of the 1920s and 30s, and music to which you can't not tap your toes. Sunday evenings at 6 on Island Radio KISL-FM 88.7 Avalon, or anytime at all, streaming online at RadioFreeWorld.com.
Thanks, Will. Say, do you have a particular artist or song you'd like to hear on Rapidly Rotating Records? If so, please let me know. You can send your requests and comments about the show by email to Glenn at rapidlyrotatingrecords.com or by postal mail to P.O. Box 145, Claremont, California, 91711. That's email to Glenn at rapidlyrotatingrecords.com or P.O. Box 145, Claremont, California, 91711. Last week, March 27th, marked the birth in 1904 in Marion, Alabama, of bandleader Hal Kemp. James Harold Kemp started playing piano at 6, switched to trumpet, alto sax, and clarinet, and was leading his own group while attending high school in Charlotte, North Carolina, where the Kemp family had moved in 1918. In 1922, Hal entered the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, where he formed a jazz group called the Carolina Club Orchestra, which toured Europe and recorded for OK. In the mid-20s, he formed the Hal Kemp Orchestra, the core of which was pianist and arranger John Scott Trotter, saxophonist Saxie Dowell, and drummer Skinny Ennis, later a featured vocalist. Their big break came when Otto Roth booked them at his Black Hawk restaurant in Chicago in 1932, and their residency there led to broadcasts over WGN and the Mutual Network. Engagements at premier hotels followed, including the Waldorf Astoria and Pennsylvania Hotels in New York, the Statler Hotel in Boston, the Roosevelt in New Orleans, and the Palmer House and Trianon Ballrooms in Chicago. They received national exposure from a series of sponsored radio shows, including the Chesterfield Program, the Quaker Oats Program, and the Gulf Gas Program. Deanne Janis was the first of several female singers to be featured in the band. Others were Maxine Gray, Nan Wynn, Judy Starr, and Janet Blair. Alice Faye was featured on the Chesterfield shows in 1937. Gus Mayhew, Skinny Ennis, and Saxie Dowell were the featured male vocalists. During the band's 15-year lifespan, they recorded more than 400 sides for Brunswick, Columbia, and Victor. For the band's California debut, they were booked at the Coconut Grove in Los Angeles and the Mark Hopkins Hotel in San Francisco, but while commuting between those two venues, Kemp was involved in an automobile accident in heavy fog and died in a hospital 2 days later on December 21st, 1940. Here's Hal Kemp.
Climbing up the ladder.
Got a date with an angel, got to meet her at 7, got a date with an angel, now I'm on my way to heaven. She's so lovely beside me, and whatever betide me, got an angel to guide me, so I'm on my way to heaven. Soon I'll hear the bells ring out, and the choir will sing out. When the pearly gates swing out, or she'll beckon to me. Now I've been waiting a lifetime for this evening at 7. Got a date with an angel. Now I'm on my way to heaven. Thank you.
without you by my side. The tears I can't hide, I'm just living in doubt. Tell me what it's all about. Your eyes that once burned with passion have turned into cold, icy stares. A look of who cares, I can't figure it out. Tell me what it's all about. You turn away, what did I say to anger you? Tell me the truth, my dear. Is yours the story of a tired love? I'll understand, you needn't fear. The nights are so long, the days are so dreary. Oh, where is the sun? What have I done? I'm just living in doubt. Tell me what it's all
Familiar to anyone who ever watched any Warner Brothers classic cartoons, that was Raymond Scott's composition Powerhouse, there played by Hal Kemp and his orchestra on June 1, 1937. As far as cartoons, Powerhouse was first used in 1943 in Porky Pig's Feet, F-E-A-T. Before Powerhouse, we heard Deanne Janis on May 4, 1933 in Living in Doubt, And we began that tribute to Hal Kemp with the band backing Skinny Innes in 1934 and Got a Date with an Angel. I'm Glenn Robison, and the show is Rapidly Rotating Records, Sunday evenings at 6 on KISL FM 88.7 Avalon, streaming online at www.kisl.org, and available on demand anytime at all online at www.radiofreeworld.com. It's time once again for This Week in Recording History. As you know by now, that's where we play rapidly rotating records which were recorded during this past week in years past. And to start off this week's set, here are the Georgians.
Thank you. It is a da da up a da ba da 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 da.
Some rapidly rotating records from this past week in recording history. We began with the Georgians on March 27th of 1924 and Big Boy, written by Milton Ager, with the vocal by Dolly Kay. The Georgians was the first band within a band and consisted of members of the Paul Specht Orchestra. The group's leader and trumpeter was Frank Guarenti. Unlike other band within a band groups of the time, such as the Virginians or the Little Ramblers, the Georgians was a performing group which made appearances outside the studio. Then from March 26, 1928, we heard Guy Lombardo and his Royal Canadians and the Cannonball. And we wrapped up with Chick Webb and his orchestra on March 30th, 1931, and Heebie Jeebies.
Doing our part to keep alive the music of the 1920s and 30s, this is Rapidly Rotating Records, Sunday evenings at 6 on KISL-FM 88.7 Avalon, and available anytime on demand online at RadioFreeWorld.com.
Last week, March 26th, marked the birth in San Francisco in 1874 of poet Robert Frost. Following his father's death in 1885, the family moved to Massachusetts, where Frost's love of poetry developed while he was in high school. Although he was a valedictorian in high school, he spent less than one semester at Dartmouth College before leaving to work as, among other things, a newspaper reporter. In 1894, he published his first poem, My Butterfly, an elegy. In 1912, at age 38, he moved to England to devote his full attention to writing, and the following year his book of poems, A Boy's Will, was published in London and received favorable reviews. His poems are primarily associated with life in New England, and in 1915 his book of poems, North of Boston, was printed by an American publisher. That same year, Frost returned to the U.S. and bought a farm in New Hampshire, and in 1924 he received the first of his four Pulitzer Prizes for his fourth book of poetry, which was titled New Hampshire. Robert Frost gave his last reading in Boston in 1962 and died in Boston the following year. So here in honor of Robert Frost are some Frosty songs, beginning with Jack Jackson and his orchestra.
Everything's fine as long as you're mine. There's spring in my heart. I know why I'm merry, humming love's old tune. Even in January, honey, it feels like June. There's frost on the moon, but what do I care? I don't know it's there. There's spring in my heart.
No one knows where flies go in the winter time. scientists all tell us it's a mystery. Everyone is puzzled, all excepting me. I do not know, it seems. I'm always filled with doubt. Where Moses was that night, the time the light went out. I know where the flies go in the winter time. Each year in September, up the wall they climb. They lay their eggs, then fly away. Come back on the 1st of May. They break their eggs, then oh, what joy! First a little girl, and then a little boy. Then they sing, we've traveled far, and eaten all the beaches down in Georgia. So now you know where flies go on a cold and frosty morning. Mary had a lover in a standard suit. She'd encouraged him, but it had borne no fruit. Till one evening he said, listen, darling, do something of importance I'll impart to you. For she thought, now it's coming, he'll propose to me. Then he clasped her to his breast and whispered tenderly, I know where the flies go in the winter time. Stupid, isn't it? Each year in September, up the wall they climb. Silly, lay their eggs, then fly away. Come back on the 1st of May. They break their eggs, then oh, what joy! First a little girl, then a little boy. Then they sing, we've traveled far and eaten all the beaches down in Georgia. So now you know where flies go on a cold and frosty morning.
Thank you.
What a great record! Some Frosty songs to commemorate the birth on March 26, 1874, of poet Robert Frost. That was the master banjoist Harry Reaser and Frosted Chocolate from 1928. We began with Jack Jackson and his orchestra, with Jack Cooper performing vocally on There's Frost on the Moon from February 10, 1937. Then from 1921, it was the tenor half of the Happiness Boys, Billy Jones and I Know Where the Flies Go on a Cold and Frosty Morning, written by Sam Mayo and John D. Harrington. I Know Where the Flies Go was sung in the 1921 hit show Biff Bing Bang by Albert Plunkett, who was a member of the vocal group The Dumbbells. The show was staged at the Ambassador Theater in New York, which was built in 1921 by the Schuberts, who sold it in 1935. They bought it back in 1956. Now just try and name another radio program where you're going to get that kind of vital information. I'm Glenn Robison, and I'm very pleased that you've chosen to spend this past hour listening to Rapidly Rotating Records. I hope you'll click in or tune in again next week and every week for more Rapidly Rotating 78 RPM records of the 1920s and 30s, and music to which you can't not tap your toes. In the meantime, your comments and requests are always welcome and can be sent by email to glenn@rapidlyrotatingrecords.com or by postal mail to P.O. Box 145, Claremont, California 91711. That's email to glenn@rapidlyrotatingrecords.com or P.O. Box 145, Claremont, California 91711. You're also invited to stop by the website at www.rapidlyrotatingrecords.com, where you can sign up to receive the weekly playlist by email and play our Jeopardy-type vintage music trivia game. Until next week, this is Glenn Robison, and as always, I thank you for your very kind attention.